Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He is Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. As we make our way towards really one of our highest and holiest days of the year, that being one St. Patrick's Day.
Is it that time of year already? Such a wonderful time of the year. It's the most wonderful time to drink beer.
It really, truly is. But before we get too much into the celebrating and drinking and the things that we do, we've got to talk a little bit of hockey. As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Nope.
Cue the music.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the music you're getting from me today for this garbage team.
Yes. I mean, the only way I can think of, when they play on Saturday, 12:30 against the Buffalo Sabres, I'm going to be listening to this and a laugh track.
You're going to need to,
because this is a laughable team. They got booed off the ice yesterday as they took on the Arizona Coyotes and lost 4-1. I mean, it's just, it is boo-worthy. 7-game losing streak now. Ever since they put on that damn priority patch.
We're still just blaming it on that.
It's gotten to the point where Bally's is now telling their on-air personalities, do not mention the priority patch.
I believe it.
But, I mean, proof is there. I mean, the team was rolling. High scoring, keeping up with the big teams, winning big games, and now maybe it's the priority patch, maybe the fact that Dylan Larkin's not there.
Like, how much can Dylan Larkin really be taking away from an entire team? Like, because Larkin's gone, the entire team just stops trying? I don't understand that.
The key word that Lalonde and everybody has been using for that team is chemistry. To the point where, like, one of the biggest players on that team, because of chemistry, is Christian Fisher. So you get rid of their captain, their leading goal scorer, or at least one of, and it, you know, they can't function. This team is good, but they're not great. They're not a team that's built to win the Stanley Cup. They don't have the oomph, the stamina to keep this going. So, yes, you're going to string together 6 or 7 wins, but then you're going to put together that many losses because they just don't have the stamina.
But there's, and I don't, maybe we go ahead and get into this now then. Your coach, Derek Lalonde, he's had some things to say that I'm not fond of that, quite frankly, have me convinced that he is not the guy to lead this team going forward.
He has to be feeling his keister getting warm, does he not?
No, he absolutely does. Do you want some audio? Because I got some audio.
Give me that sweet, sweet audio.
No one had us in the playoffs. We had an 8% chance to be in the playoffs. Someone would have told us with 17 games left, we'd be tied point-wise in the last playoff spot. Of course, we have taken it. And we've earned that with some really good stretches in our season. But there's been some moments in our season where it slid, and we're in one of those moments now, and we got to get it back.
No one had us in the playoffs. Are you listening to this man, right? Like, am I hearing this correctly? You had a 70% chance to win a playoff, to get into the playoffs, what, like a month ago?
He's talking about at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but I think all of us kind of at the beginning of the year also thought that this team was going to make the playoffs.
I don't know what stats he's getting from. I mean, what he's saying is all facts. It's the fact that he's really trying to show us all the positives when there's really nothing positive going on right now.
There aren't.
I mean, yes, you won a lot of games. Yes, you have been, as a season as a whole, have been performing above expectations, but
yes, you've now lost by a combined 8-1 to the Coyotes last two games against that garbage franchise.
It's the "what have you done for me lately" idea. And what have you done for us lately, Lalonde? Yes, you've won some big games. Yes, your team has scored a lot to the point where they were in the top 5 of goals for. But what have you done for me lately? I want you to address that. instead of showing me your highlight reel for the season, because we've been there and we have applauded you. We have done our due diligence as fans, but now we need to focus on the here and now. Seven games against some garbage teams.
And you've lost all seven of those games and are currently out of a playoff spot.
I mean, there was against the Colorado Avalanche, but you were able to hold on. You were able to hang with that team about a month ago, and then you lose, what, 7-3?
Took them to OT and won.
Yeah. They have not been able to be competitive. I mean, you played against the Coyotes twice and lost at a total of 8-1 in those two games.
How is that even allowed against that poverty franchise?
I don't know. Well, I mean, the Arizona Coyotes have shown a resemblance of life, because if I remember correctly, if I saw the stats, and please tell me if I'm wrong, I love it when I'm told I'm wrong.
It's my favorite thing to do.
They beat the Vegas Golden Knights, the defending Stanley Cup champions. So maybe the Arizona Coyotes, even though their stadium situation is laughable, maybe,
and their team's pretty laughable too.
Well, I mean, that's my whole point. Is like every once in a while, this little chihuahua has teeth.
I'm looking.
Not putting the Red Wings on par with somebody like the Vegas Golden Knights, but yeah, I mean,
last time they played the Knights, they lost.
There was some big game, was some big team that they beat. Maybe it was Colorado, I don't know, but they hang with the Wings quite well.
Because they've beaten, their last several wins have been against both, two against the Wings.
Yeah.
The Capitals, the Senators, a long stretch of nothing, the Penguins, the Predators, and the Wild.
Well, then somebody was trying to give me some good news, but they were erroneous.
They have a win, like, back in December against the Avalanche. And one against the Bruins, but, you know, so the Wings. What's your point?
Yeah. I mean, I at this point, would the playoffs be nice? Yes, absolutely.
The playoffs, quite frankly, are a necessity for me this year to have confidence in Derek Lalonde going forward.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want more hockey? But do you have any confidence in this team in the first round against anybody? Against Florida, Boston?
A month ago, I think the Wings could have taken Boston.
You had Patrick Kane saying this team could go a 7-game series against anybody in the NHL. Now, I don't think they could go a 7-game series in the CHL.
It certainly doesn't look that way.
So I don't know. They've got to piece something together. Get rid of that patch. Get Larkin on a fast track back into JLA. Do something. I mean, you've got.
Bring back JLA. Okay, fine. Whatever you gotta do.
Yeah.
whatever we gotta do.
We have scoured landfills all across the Midwest. We have found everything.
Every piece of Joe Louis Arena, we've assembled it back here because that's the only way.
LCA, yeah. Wow, I'm dating myself, huh?
No, a little bit.
So, yeah, I mean, it's got to turn around, and hopefully maybe this little losing fit clues them in. I mean, you do have Raymond and Sherratt fighting each other in practice, and then sitting next to each other in the penalty boxes, they're scrumming it up against Arizona. That was kind of comical, but I mean, so they're showing some signs of life, or at least some frustration. I'd rather see that than, oh, well, you know, this is just what happens. This is the game that we play. You win some, you lose some. But you're at 7 in a row, and you're taking on the Buffalo Sabres. They've been known to be dream killers for the Red Wings. You got the Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday, which that should be a win, question mark. But I can't really say that. Not with what I've seen the last this stretch of seven.
Can we say right now that anything should be a win for this team?
Should be a win. I mean, they've shown some brilliance, and there's what difference has there been? Larkin has been out. Was Daniel Sprong a scratch last night, or is he injured? Because if he's scratched, I'm going to be really upset, because if there's anybody on the Red Wings squad who has surpassed expectations, it's Daniel Sprong.
Yeah, I'm not seeing him listed injured.
So, yeah, I saw some grumblings on Facebook that he was a healthy scratch, and that is ridiculous.
Like, why would he, of all people, be benched?
I don't know. To bring in Austin Czernik?
Austin Czernik doesn't... I mean, Czernik. Look, he's okay. Like...
They are really high on him.
I don't up
and down
what?
Last year too, and then they've got Jonathan Berggren, and we want to see what he's able to do. Maybe I don't know because I don't know we're gonna lose him anyway because he doesn't want to re-sign with the team. So
we got to do something with him. Certainly.
No, I don't think we have much. Oh well, he'll be an RFA. So I mean, we'll get something for him. So I guess show pony him around the NHL and see what happens, but. This stretch means that, I mean, it was looking very likely that Patrick Kane won't re-sign with this team because he doesn't want to play on a team that, I mean, even though he's one of the reasons why they're on a 0-7 in the last seven, but that kind of sucks.
That it does. I mean, it's a hard thing to sit here and watch happen, man. That's for sure.
That's okay. I mean, I look at the bright side, the silver lining.
Oh, we know you do.
Yeah. Like next year, 2 years from now, we'll be watching the Stanley Cup winning Red Wings home video, and the narrator would be like, in the 2023-2024 season, they went on a 7-game losing streak, and they really thought everything was totally screwed. They wanted Derek Lalonde tarred and feathered in Hart Plaza. Chris Illich had to hire bodyguards and couldn't go anywhere.
I mean, that's for completely different reasons, admittedly, but...
But look at all this surface parking. Anyway, but
so many lots you could park in this town. I do want to kind of ask another question with regard to
sure. This
team and management and things. But we got to hit a break. We'll do that on the other side. I also did want to touch a little bit on Juwan Howard this afternoon because he has been fired as U of M's head basketball coach.
Woo-hoo!
A couple other things we need to get to as well. All that stuff in due time. Stick around. It is happy hour. Back after this. It is happy hour, and I've got a question for you as the resident member of the hockey elite in this
hockey
in this
elite
studio.
Oh, you mean the guy who doesn't know how to skate? Yes. Okay, please continue.
Yeah, but as the the local hockey super genius or whatever, with the current state of things with this franchise, you're now talking 7 losses in a row against some just of the garbage of the NHL.
Yep.
Is the bloom coming off the rose a little bit for one Steve Yzerman?
No. No, because...
Are we at the point where we can actually question the decisions this man makes?
No.
Can we take this man off this pedestal, this, like, where we've just made him into this, like, deity whose decisions are completely and utterly unquestionable?
No.
Among the hockey intelligentsia in this town?
No, in fact, we should build the pedestal up.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, because... Let's look at free agency, and let's look at the trades that he's made. I mean, which ones are you upset about? Is it the Dan Petrie or Jeff Petrie?
Jeff
one?
Petrie, I'm very upset about.
Okay.
The Justin Hall signing, I'm very upset about.
What about the Alex Lyon one?
I'm okay with the Alex Lyon signing.
Alex DeBrincat.
I'm not saying that the trades that have been made haven't been beneficial to the team, sir.
He has... I would say that right now, this team is better than it was a season ago. It has been bigger, and there's things in the pipeline on its way, thanks to Steve Yzerman and drafting, mainly like Marco Kasper. Then you have Trey Augustine, which we don't talk about him enough. He's been backstopping the Spartans. He to a Big Ten championship. He's in the Red Wings pipeline. We've been spending so much time talking about Sebastian Kosa, but maybe Kosa needs to get a rear view mirror because Trey Augustine coming up fastly behind him. You've got Nate Danielson. There's a lot of interesting things coming in there. Nobody said they were winning the Stanley Cup this year. Nobody.
But I feel like playoffs was a more than reasonable expectation.
And they're 1 point out of a playoff spot.
And they're not playing any closer to one.
No, point taken. But they have built themselves up such a cushion through good play that we're not, let's just go ahead and cancel the whole season. Write it all off. Let's just talk about the draft. The Islanders, the wheels could come off their wagon just as easily. The Wings could find their mojo again. Larkin is skating again. I'm not saying he is the only reason, but he is a key component. I mean, facts are facts.
Like, there's no reason that we should have a team wide lack of effort right now. Which brings me to my next question. Then, sure. Is the bloom off the rose a little bit with Derek Lalonde?
Yeah, I mean that's where I'm going to give concessions there, because I don't like how he is so. He switched goalies the other day against I don't even care who they're playing. But a lot of times he'll leave a goalie out there to starve as he's getting peppered with shots. He's making questionable decisions as far as some line changes, but I don't know. I don't think he's in the players' ears enough. The same thing we've had a problem with Jeff Blashill. He's not talking to the players. You got to be a little bit of a jerk. You really do. You have to be a Scotty Bowman. I'm not a Mike Babcock. I'm not talking about psychotic.
We've seen the exact opposite of that. I wouldn't mind more of a John Tortorella type, though.
John Tortorella type is exactly what I'm not going to say a young team, but it is one of the youngest teams we've had in the last 30 years for the Wings. I'll give you that. But he is a guy that, we need a trash can kicker. We need to have somebody that comes in instead of saying, well, we've had some chances and you're doing your best out there. We just really need to look in the corner block. What wants somebody? Hey, you guys are, you couldn't pass a kidney stone. You guys are terrible. Yeah, the ice is slippery. Stop falling.
I feel like that's all I'm asking for. Someone who looks like he cares out there instead of, well, if you would have told us at the start of the season that we'd all just be just out of a playoff spot, everyone would have been happy with that. But no, we wouldn't have. And B, you were a little bit beyond that for a while. We don't get to reset the...
That actuality wasn't for us. He was hoping that Stevie Y and Chris Ilitch and all those guys, they heard that. They saw that. That was him posturing for his own job, which, I mean, if anybody thinks that he's going to lose his job before the end of the season, sorely mistaken, but...
All I'm saying is there's already been six teams who are in playoff contention right now who have made coaching changes this season.
Some of them have been fantastic. I mean, let's talk about what happened in Edmonton. They were absolute hot garbage. Traded coaches and then could not be stopped. Same thing happened in L.A. So, I mean, there is an argument there. But
there is. And I feel very much that Lalonde's message is falling on deaf ears right now in that clubhouse.
Okay, retort, but this is an honest question. If not Lalonde, then who?
Well, I was anticipating you were going to ask me that, and I'll tell you a couple things right now. For one, you have on your bench in Bob Bogner an established NHL bench boss. Again, I'm not sure if he's a guy who's necessarily going to be the guy to get you all the way, but he's at least competent enough that.
Bob Bogner. He
coached San Jose for a while.
San Jose, okay.
I just remember
him as a player. I think he played for the Wild at some point or something like that.
Yeah, I believe you're right. He played for Buffalo, Nashville, Pittsburgh, and Colorado for a while.
Okay, all right.
He was about 500 as a head coach, admittedly. The San Jose teams under him were admittedly not great. The Florida teams were more close to the middle of the pack. But, again, it's not about necessarily him being the right permanent fit going forward as much as it is that change in the that wake-up call to the rest of the team. Like, hey, we're not just sitting here being okay with guys being, you know, complacent.
Well,
it's a message every bit as much as it's, you know, he's the guy.
Well, what's going to send a good message and make it a lot more fun for the fans is Yzerman shows Lalonde the door, and he himself becomes the bench boss.
I don't know that necessarily. I mean, we've seen crazier things work, but Yzerman's never coached at any level.
No, he hasn't. I'm half in jest, but he needs to get.
Yeah, bring in Lindy Ruff.
Why not? He's
he's got a track record.
I mean, Joel Quenneville. I know that he.
No.
He never. He was kind of mum about the whole video coach having inappropriate content with a player.
He's not the guy for me.
So maybe Igor Larionov? Or is he too smart for...
Possibly, but you know what? I'd be entirely fine with that all the same. Like, that would... I've been saying that he's going to get an NHL gig at some point, and wouldn't it be great if it were here? We got to hit a break. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and I know I'd asked you earlier, we'd talked about our head coach here with the Wings, and
yeah,
who would you possibly replace him with? I did find a couple other names that are currently sitting unemployed.
Yeah.
One, Craig Berube, the former St. Louis Blues head coach who won a Stanley Cup with that team.
Yeah.
He's out there. Also, Gerard Gallant is available yet again.
Gerard Gallant, hire him immediately. Absolutely. I love what Gallant has done. It didn't work out so well in New York, but it still was better than what they had had going on. He went to the Stanley Cup Finals with the Golden Knights. He had a lot of success in Florida. So, yeah, bring him in. He did a lot with little with that Golden Knights team.
He really did. I mean, that first season where it was just kind of like we threw all these guys together and are calling it a hockey team.
Yep. It was all the cast-offs.
Yeah, give that man a ton of credit for getting that team to gel the way that it did.
Yep.
I think he could do the same here. For some reason, though, he flames out at gigs like pretty quick, man. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think it's a impetuous, it's impatience of the GMs of those teams. But you get Yzerman in there, who was a line mate of Gerard Gallant, has seen what he's able to do. If he was to say, hey, I'm making the decision, Gerard Gallant is going to be the next head coach of the Red Wings, I'd be totally fine with this.
Oh, I don't think anyone would question it. I know I certainly wouldn't. Also, Todd McClellan's still out there, too.
Todd McClellan, there's been some success, but he couldn't get it done in San Jose. He couldn't get it done in Edmonton.
But
he
nobody can get it done in San Jose, though.
Yeah, well, point taken. But
no one has ever been able to make that team consistently a winner and get them to not consistently joke.
Right. But, I mean, also, L.A. and Edmonton is on his resume and hasn't been that great. He was a great assistant coach when the Wings won the Cup in 08, but...
I mean, he does have ties to Detroit. I mean, maybe he's at least a possibility. I think any one of them is an upgrade over who you got now.
Yeah, I'm kind of souring on the whole newsy kind of thing, the Uncle Fester that it is. Even when they were winning, I wasn't like, okay, oh, it's all because of Derek Lalonde. I wasn't of that mindset.
No, you were all the good things that are happening are because of Steve Yzerman. All glory to the Yzer plan.
Absolutely.
Like you're fully like bought in, hypnotized into that.
Oh, absolutely. I still am. I'm still on the Steve Yzerman bandwagon, and May 19 be with you.
Like you're kind of the fan we talk about with the we kind of deify our general managers in this town. We see it already a little bit with Brad Holmes too, and he doesn't even have the history of having been a player here.
No, but I mean he did bring a good team to the Detroit Lions, and not one playoff win, but two.
Which
we were just asking for one playoff win. Guess what? We got two.
We did. But my, I'd like to see some moves in free agency, please. Like, we have really one major thing that has moved the needle since the free agency period began, and sure, that was they've signed DJ Reader to a 2-year deal, a nose tackle. It's a deal worth a maximum of $27.25 million with over $9 million guaranteed. And great at defending the run. No doubt about that. Has a little bit of spark as a pass rusher on the interior as well. And he's had a decent amount of QB pressures and hits over the last couple years. It's not a bad signing at all. I like the signing. It's not quite the big splash I was hoping for. Like, you know, I was looking at, you know, hoping that maybe Brad Holmes would leave a Legarius Sneed or a Danielle Hunter under our tree. And that sadly did not happen.
No, no. I mean, with the exception of Saquon Barkley going to
Eagles.
That
has to hurt a lot of Giants fans right now, because going to your most bitter rival.
Yeah, that one hurt. Other than that, I mean, really didn't see too many free agents signings that moved the needle for me. Maybe Kirk Cousins going over to Georgia, because
oh my god, that
Georgia deal. They love Cousins.
four years, $180 million. What? So you're talking $45 million deal for that guy.
Who's really mediocre now?
Still Kirk Cousins. I still think that one was a questionable signing at best. It really has me wondering what Minnesota's going to do now. But
who cares? They're in our division.
Exactly. That's why I'm kind of worried. Like, oh, don't. Now who are they going to end up landing? Like, I don't think anyone made. Like, they're probably going through the draft, I would imagine.
Yeah.
They're
going
to
be
guy.
Going through a little bit of a rebuild.
A little bit, and I am entirely fine with that. But it just seems like a lot of fans were hoping for more out of the Lions free agent-wise. And so far, Brad Holmes seems to have made it fairly clear that they had never really planned on doing that. Like, this just isn't a team that makes big free agent signings, apparently.
I was a little surprised because I had always said that, you know, if you put a winning team on the field, that's going to attract the free agents. That has not been the case, or it wasn't a deal good enough for Brad Holmes.
Which I guess is always possible, too.
I mean, we had the same kind of critique of Steve Yzerman. It's a lot like the Red Wings.
It always comes back to the Red Wings, doesn't it?
With Yzerman during the trade deadline. Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? Because if it didn't fit right, it didn't fit right. I mean, he's looking at building a team 4 years from now, not just right now. 4 years from now. So he's got to think of that terms. And Brad Holmes, obviously, he's a little a smart guy, too. He's thinking long term as well. You don't want to make something. You don't want to mortgage your future like Kenny Holland would do every season. There's one reason why we love free agency with Kenny Holland, because Kenny Holland would swing for the fences, trade first round draft picks, second round draft picks, trade this guy for a stud who you stud a former stud, I should say, someone who used to be good. Let's bring in Mike Modano. Why? Well, because he used to be good.
Hey, those worked out for a while. I mean, less so in the salary cap era, admittedly.
No, for a while.
That was fun. Like what shiny toy are we getting at the trade deadline this year? It's Christmas every year.
Yeah, that year.
We're getting a Shanahan this year? Are we getting a Luke Robitaille? Like,
yeah, that year, the 2001, it was like we got Hasek, Robitaille, we got Hull. It was like, wow, everybody's playing for us now. 99, you got Chelios coming to town. I was like, those were some good times. But then it was just like, hey, guys, look what I got. Steven Weiss, come on down.
And then we found out that he just wasn't capable of playing hockey anymore.
No, it was not. Darian Hatcher, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, 2 games in and he's injured? Oh, okay, all right.
Yep, that's about right.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. But back to the Lions.
Oh, anyway, yeah, Lions. Yeah.
That's the team we were talking about. That's right, the Lions.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't hate the DJ Reader signing. In fact, I like it quite a bit. Like, he's going to be an absolutely elite run defender on that line, and I am happy to see them making that move. I even like the quarterback signings. The trade they made for was it Carlton Davis out of Tampa. Like, he thinks he's going to be this team's shutdown corner, and I hope he's absolutely right on that. And I do like that move, but I need to see a little bit something more. Like, I need somebody opposite Hutch still. Now we need someone to fill the spot that Jonah Jackson leaves behind now that he's signed with the Rams. And
the stupid Rams.
Yes, indeed, the stupid, forever the stupid Rams. Like, I need to see some major moves. Like, I can't imagine this is all going to be addressed in the draft. I mean, if so, fantastic. Like, if you're talking first round, you're going after an offensive lineman, then we're going all just edge rushers and defensive talent from there. I'm good with it, but I just need to see some of these things addressed that just, quite frankly, were not addressed functionally last year or at the deadline this last season.
Yep.
Like, it can't be like we're seriously going assuming that James Houston's going to be just fine opposite Hutch. I'm not okay with that. If that's the plan going into next season, get a new plan. That I can't get down with. Sorry, I just can't.
Right.
Like, I just need to see something. And like I said, he's worked absolute draft magic thus far. No doubt about it. Need to see something more in free agency before I'm willing to lift this man to the heights that people have already lifted Steve Yzerman to before he'd ever set foot back in Detroit, where everything this man does is right. There is no wrong here. Like, he's incapable of making an incorrect decision ever at any time. Like,
he's the head of the church that I follow. Yes, absolutely. Now, Brad Holmes could be standing on the field winning a Super Bowl. Honolulu blue and silver confetti all over him, touching the Lombardi trophy, and Sean would be like, "You didn't do anything in free agency. I just really can't put him up on that pedestal."
Hey, if he wins the Super Bowl, bets are off, man. But all I'm saying is the competitive window is open right now. And really what I guess I want more than anything is just kind of reassurance here that we're not going to treat last season as a fluke, and therefore...
No, that's not a fluke.
And therefore we're going to kick the can down the road. And that's what I'm worried is going to happen here. Oh, we don't really need to build things up that much for this year. We're ahead of schedule now.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
We did that. We weren't even supposed to be there yet, really, so... You know, I now need a minimum of making it back to the NFC title game this coming season.
There's like, no that's way my expectation that Holmes now. And Campbell and who's the owner? Stephanie?
Sheila.
Sheila. There's no way that they all saw Ford Field and they saw the Lions faithful that they're going to be like, okay, yeah, we can take a step back. No, it's they've had a taste of the mountain, too. They're going to want more. They couldn't get it done in free agency. That doesn't mean that they weren't close. It doesn't mean they weren't trying.
I mean,
but the deals weren't there.
Sure, and yes, I have heard that they did. They picked up the phone on L'Jarius Sneed, and just the fit wasn't there monetarily, price wise, whatever. So I get it. I get that. You know, not every deal that we want to see happen is going to happen. I just need that reassurance right now that we're not going to go back to, well, hey, you guys got your two playoff wins. We got you within 30 minutes of a Super Bowl. We've done all we need to do. See you later. Back to mediocrity.
No.
That's all I need. And I don't, and I fear that I'm not going to get that. And yeah. That's what has me just ready to just have the football pulled out from under me again.
Hang on, Charlie Brown. Now, let's not get too crazy here. No, they're going to do whatever they can to get back up there. I mean, you still have Jared Goff under center. You have a lot of key components still with that team. They saw what they were capable of. They saw the home crowds and the away crowds in some cases.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, this team's fan base travels now.
Yeah, yeah. They learn to drive. No, it's going to be okay. This was not a flash in the pan for this team. They have been building this up. Now let's see what happens in the draft, which is in 4 weeks.
Yep,
something like that.
Little over that, yeah.
So it's going to end Detroit. So it's going to be a lot. It's going to be interesting.
I might have to go down there. Like, that for at would least be part fun. Of this. Like, I don't think I'm actually kind of hedging my bets on this because it falls on a Thursday that I have other commitments. But I feel like if I go down there, then that's going to be when, because we're going to be drafting, like, very obviously very low in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
And then Brad Holmes is going to come up to Mike, like, we traded back for a bunch of picks in the second round. Sorry, guys, no picks tonight. See you later.
That's what I
came down here for nothing.
That's when I hope a ladder comes from a helicopter. We got to get you out of here, Holmes.
Got to get you out of here now.
You're a dead man if you're sitting here. Boo.
29th overall pick, and they're not taking it. What traded for, Brad? Why?
We traded for the 33rd pick. Good night, everybody.
Right?
Deuces. Crab walks off the stage while giving both middle fingers. See you later.
Right.
Holmes away.
Stick around. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and it is that time of the week again for really my favorite bit that we do.
You do love this.
Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice.
Woohoo!
Where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept. I think we give better advice than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living. Sure, a few lives may be ruined along the way, but, you know, that's showbiz, baby.
You know, that happens.
Let's get into it, shall we?
Yep.
Dear somebody who cares. My older sister got pregnant twice and dropped out of school. She lives with our parents and works part-time at a fast food joint. I go to college about 2 hours away. I love my family, but I hate visiting. The house is always a mess, and I'm stuck on the sofa because the kids have my room. Either the kids are screaming their heads off, my parents are fighting about bills, or my sister is complaining about how hard her life is. I juggle school, a full-time job, and my scholarship. I don't even have time to socialize when I'm there, which makes my weekend so precious. I still have a lot of friends in town and prefer to stay and see them rather than deal with the chaos at home. My family finds this offensive. My mother claims it hurts her heart that I don't want to spend time with them. And my sister makes snide remarks about me being a crappy aunt and not loving her kids. The minute I enter the door, the mother is banging at me to help clean up. My sister is shoving her kids at me so she can go out. And my dad locks himself in the garage to tinker. They don't even ask me how school is going. I would just tell them not tell them when I'm visiting. But most of my friends either live at home or are family friends. Last time my family found out I visited without telling them, I got the mother of all guilt trips. I love my family, but visiting them isn't worth the gas every weekend. Help.
Now, I was on board with, there was a point in the story, and I know exactly what point in the story it was. I was, at the beginning, I was, yes, you should just grin and bear it. It's for your mom. Go see her. You're not going to have your mom all the time. Don't worry about your sister. If she's worried, saying you're being a bad aunt, you know, to hell with her. But you need to, you know, it's not going to kill you. But then I hear, you know, mother wants her to do chores. Dad's off in the garage. The sister wants the aunt to babysit so she can go out. That, and then they don't even ask her about school. I mean, it's supposed to, any relationship, any single relationship is supposed to be reciprocal. They should be able to ask her about this and know that she's on, you know, her time off from her job, her school, her obligations, and treat it as such, as opposed to, oh, finally, somebody is going to help us clean up and watch these kids and everything else. We're so glad you're here. They're using her.
Yeah, they're using her for free labor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you want to go home to that?
And she doesn't. She clearly doesn't. And it sounds like from the letter that she has done her correct job and laid it all on the line for him. Listen, I don't want to come here and do this. I don't want to. And they're getting a guilt trip. Well, you know what? I'm sorry, writer. You're going to have to deal with the guilt trip and just do you. Don't completely cut them out of your life, which I'm sure is going to be Sean's patented response.
That works every single time.
This bit would be about 5 minutes long. I have a sister. Write her off. I have a dog with an alcohol problem. Write him off. Put him to sleep.
Yep.
But, I mean,
and I tell you, it works every single time, too.
50% of the time, it works every time. Don't cut them out of your life, but listen, tell them, I go to school, I'm doing all this, I have my own life too, and it's not to cater to you guys. Let's meet up for lunch. And then I'm going to go hang out with my friends over here. I'm going to do this. Stay at a hotel with a nice big jacuzzi tub or something like that. But I'm not going to be the babysitter. I'm not going to be the maid. Dad, where are you going? Why are you starting the car with the garage door down? I mean, that kind of stuff. He knows. He knows the story. He's like, oh, God, I'm glad she's here. Okay. This family, I tell you, take me to school with you. So, I mean, sounds like she has it all together. She just needs us or whoever she's writing to say, you're correct. You're doing things right. Just keep doing what you're doing.
No, absolutely. They just limit the trips home, and if they have a problem with that, look, I have a full-time, I've got a full-time college career such as it is. I have a full-time job. Like, it's a lot to juggle for me. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you know, keep that in mind and don't let them basically harass you into coming home every weekend to be their free labor.
Or just every time you come home, just stumble in drunk. Just come in plastered. She's not going to want you around her kids.
That doesn't necessarily always work.
She does, and the mom's not going to want you to clean up. You're making more messes because you just want to pass out. And maybe the dad wants to hang out with you now. He's not going to go out to the garage. He's like, hey, let's go out to the garage. I got a pint of wild turkey over there. You know, just show up hammered.
I mean, that doesn't always work. They still might just... The lecture you get after the hangover and then they start putting you to work is going to be every bit as bad. Maybe worse.
No. So that's not necessarily... As they're giving you a lecture, just that's when you start get the mint juleps or the margaritas. And just can't hear you. Hey, it's my day off. I worked. I went to school. I have my responsibilities. This is my day off and this is how I want to choose it. I'm choosing to spend it with you. Mom, you want it on the rocks or...
On the rocks slushy. Or me. Or frozen.
Frozen or on the rocks. Come on. Yeah. How about some Shirley Temples for the kids?
There you go. I guess it's not a terrible thing.
She's in college.
I mean,
in college. Be a college student. Make bad decisions.
And just don't go home.
Go home.
That's really the best. And here we go once again to going no contact works every single time.
No, go home with a guy you just met. His name's Snake. He's into cryptocurrency and he's a tattoo artist.
I'm glad to be here. Oh, you got some kids. I've always wanted to tattoo a kid. SpongeBob? Oh, yeah. I can do SpongeBob on your arm. He's going to be holding a scimitar, though.
Oh, my.
Okay, anyway. Moving on.
Yeah, let's get into one more of these, shall we? Dear, does anyone still read these? My parents were both alcoholics and both died of illnesses connected to alcoholism. My older siblings did their best to shield me from the impacts of their parenting and childhood. While it was tough, I think they succeeded at giving me an easier experience. At 29, I drink the occasional beer at a party or work event, but never more than one and never more than once a week. I don't consume any other substances or have issues with moderation in general. I know genetics plays a huge role. In addition, but I think I won the lottery and missed this specific bullet. I'm definitely my mother's daughter, but there's also a degree of family belief that I might not be my father's, given my mom's history during my early years. Both my siblings are non-drinkers. My sister's a lifelong teetotaler because she discovered compulsive behaviors early on and is trying hard to reduce her risks. My brother went through AA when he was barely 20. We live in the same area, so my occasional drinking isn't hidden. My sister confided recently that she's deeply jealous, allowed the horrible family stuff to hit both her and my brother, seems to have swerved around me. She also longs to feel completely disconnected from our dad. My brother's constantly trying to get me to quit drinking and is angry that he basically raised me and I still do drink. He's very strong for quitting, but he's definitely a thrill seeker in many other ways. Dangerous motorcycle, high adrenaline /risk career, etc. So it's not like he's above us. I love both my siblings a lot, and what they survived is unfair. I got so lucky mostly because of them. But also, I want to make my own choices here. How do I approach this with them? Honestly, if they weren't so pushy, I probably wouldn't even be interested in it.
What was the final question on that? I mean, she talks about them, about her drinking, having a beer or two?
Yeah.
Sounds like, first of all, it sounds like her siblings, with maybe with the strong exception of her brother, sounds like they really have their you-know-what together, because the sister understands and has self-diagnosed that she has a compulsive behavior, and knowing that drinking would trigger at that. So she, with her not drinking, is her taking care of herself, and I applaud that, absolutely, as should the writer.
Without a doubt.
The brother laying on the guilt trip, I raised you, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, I'm going to go parachuting. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. If you can handle your liquor, handle your liquor. Because in the book, how you doing? The letter says she drinks what like once a week.
Yeah, one beer a week.
One beer a week, not a problem,
right?
Good Lord! I mean, there's more alcohol in Robitussin. I got a cold. The cold's been lasting for 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's not like we're talking about like us, where we're literally sitting in a studio right now that is still to the brim with alcohol.
Yeah, there's beer cans here. I don't remember opening because they've been here for so long because I got to take them out of the studio. Anyway, no, don't. You have nothing to worry about. I mean, alcoholism running through the family is a very real thing, but it sounds like everybody has come to terms with this and they're dealing with it healthily in their own way. So there should be no problem. Now, the sister saying that I feel jealous because it skipped. It didn't skip her. She just is able to handle it. One beer a week, unless she's lying. Unless the writer is just like completely sloshed. All, I have one beer. A keg. I have one keg a week. But then that's it. You know? the beer delivery just goes up 3 flights of stairs to the apartment. Yeah, I'm glad she tips. You want me to tap it for you? Yeah, tap it there, Kenny. There you go. All right. But, I mean, it sounds like everybody in this scenario has it together. The only question is the brother laying down the hammer on the writer,
trying to pass judgment on.
Yeah, really being judgmentally. That's the part I don't like. Other than that, it sounds like everybody has their stuff figured out.
Right. I don't really see ultimately an issue here. Like, I get everyone's gone through some trauma in some capacity here, yep. Obviously. Yep. Like, that much is more than readily apparent. But why the need to then use that trauma as an excuse to be all judgmental now?
Exactly.
Like, you guys might just need to have a sit down and talk about some other things entirely here.
The sit down would be about 5 seconds long. I have one beer a week. Good night.
Right.
This is not an intervention. Okay? I have one beer a week. That's it. End of list. And you know what? Just to tick you off, I'm going to have 2.
Yeah, that's one way to approach it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, the writer, I'm glad that the writer is in tune with the whole, fetal alcohol syndrome or whatever they're calling it, or
that I don't think that's really applicable here.
Basically what I'm saying is that they have alcoholism in their family, so she's on top of it.
She's not irresponsible about it.
Actually, she's
probably more responsible than most of the family.
She's kind of a wimp if you ask me.
One beer a week, God, what are you even doing? Do you even feel anything?
What's the point? you buy a 6-pack and that sixth one is like outdated by the time you get to it.
Kid couldn't even imagine.
And you know it's some fruity, high fruity IPA.
I don't even know if it's a fruity. It's like a Michelob Ultra or something, probably.
Yeah,
something with no flavor whatsoever.
With pomegranate.
Oh yeah, it's always a pomegranate, isn't it? It's like a seltzer.
Oh, I drink Grey's Anatomy and how you doing? I watch Grey's Anatomy and then I drink my Mick Ultra pomegranate and I call it a week. Meanwhile, the brother comes paragliding in through the front window. Crash! You're leading yourself down a road to hell.
Your actions are tearing this family apart. Now I got a skydiving appointment in like an hour. I got
to
go.
I'm going to Spain. I'm running with the Bulls, brother. See you later.
I just picture this guy just flying in from like increasingly dangerous things. Yeah. And like, and telling the sibling here that, you know, your life's completely out of order.
Yeah. He's just raising his arm up. I have not had one drink of alcohol. There's a rattlesnake dangling off his bicep. But not one drink of alcohol. I am a perfect human specimen.
I am the peak of...
You're missing the pinky. Yeah, well, that happens.
That's just what happens when you live responsibly like I do, apparently.
Yeah. When you live responsibly every once in a while, yeah, a little CTE kicks in.
On that note, let's hit a break, shall we? It is happy hour. Stick around. Happy hour, and it seems like we bring this up every so often on this show because there's so many people who find this to be such a divisive issue of our time, really. The self-checkout. And apparently now,
oh yeah,
Walmart and Target are going back on having the self-checkouts available. There may be soon limits on who can use self-checkout at stores like Walmart and Target. Some shoppers have reported that some self-checkout lines have been closed off at Walmart. According to a Reddit post, at least one Walmart had a sign blocking self-checkout lanes saying, quote, attention, this self-checkout is for Spark shoppers and Walmart Scan and Go only.
Yep.
Scan and Go is only available for Walmart Plus members, which is a paid subscription.
Yep.
Is Scan and Go a paid thing at your place, too?
Nope.
Okay. They're just there, apparently. You know, always, any way they can nickel and dime you.
Know? Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because now, like, Dollar General just announced that they were getting rid of their self-checkouts.
And they just put those in not that long ago.
In, like, 1,000. They said 1,000 stores, but, I mean, let's face it. That's only, like, a tenth of their...
Small percentage.
Small. Like, 1%. Yeah. In the high, quote, high crime areas. It's so funny because the same people who are like, I'm not using the self-checkout, put a cashier in there. All right, fine. We're taking away the self-checkout and you have to use the cashier. What? These lines are too long.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's exactly what's going to be happening.
Yep. Nobody's happy. The self-checkout, I like it for the most part.
I love it.
If I have a big order, I'm going through a cashier. But, I mean, if I just need a few things...
Yeah, it really depends on what I have. Like, if I have, like, fruits and vegetables where I need to look them up, I'll go through a cashier so that they can do that.
Right.
Because they usually have the QR code, not QR codes, SKU numbers, whatever, yep. Memorized.
Yep.
You know, but if it's just something like a short trip, a basket, whatnot, yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm still very much, like, even in those
instances.
But you
don't buy fresh fruits or vegetables.
No, that is not
true. Pizza rolls and beer.
Even when I do buy actual produce and things of that nature... I have no problem. Okay. Because I do know how to use them.
Lemons for drinks.
Hey.
That's fresh fruit.
Don't you judge me.
He goes to the register, 4085.
To be fair, I've been to Sean's house and seen like salads and whatnot on the counter, which I assume are for Rachel.
Yeah, it's for Rachel, but, yeah. He's trying to figure out how to deep fry it.
Might be good.
We assume so much about me on the show, don't we?
I'm just messing with you. But yeah, self-checkouts,
there's no circumstances under which I want to actually have to deal with a person when I'm checking out. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah.
There is no circumstance in which I go to the grocery store that I want to deal with people more than I absolutely positively have to.
The other exception is if I'm buying like a bottle of alcohol that has the key on top. Yeah. If the self-checkouts are busy and I know I'm going to have to wait forever to get somebody to come over with a key to take that off,
I tend to buy a lot of booze at those stores.
When I buy alcohol, which is so very rare, a lot of times it's like, I'd rather go through a man cashier so I can just hand them my ID as opposed to like when I scan, I'm in the middle of scanning everything and the person just, they don't walk up, they just appear. They appear out of a puff of smoke. Can I have your ID? I was like, I'm in the middle of scanning something. Yeah, here's my ID.
Well, if you ever noticed the little cabinet on the base of those self-checkouts.
Is that where they come from?
That's where they come from. Yeah, they live there. And then as soon as they need, the doors pop open and they come scrambling out like an Oompa Loompa.
Gulp, gulp, dippity-doo. I need to see your ID too.
Apologize to cashiers now. Cashiers and Oompa Loompas.
Oompa Loompa Dooba Da Dee. Show me your ID or I can't have that whiskey.
So, yeah, but I mean, we're finding a very interesting part of our society where I don't like, people don't like U-scans, but then they don't like it when they're taken away. Make up your minds, people.
See, I made my decision long ago, and that is bring on the self-checkouts. Well, like,
I think there's ultimately a really simple solution to this.
What's that?
As opposed to getting rid of the self-checkouts.
Yeah.
Keep the self-checkouts, but also staff the checkout, the cashier lanes that normally have a cashier on them.
Yeah.
Because usually they have like 10 or 15 of them, even with the self-checkouts, but they only have one of them open with a person. So if you just staff those with like five or six, you have more like checkout lanes.
You have that, yeah, exactly.
You're giving people the option then.
In the heat of the day of the place where I work, when we start off in the day, you're going to have like one or two, probably one manned cashier or a womaned cashier. I'm sorry, and then U scans. But then in the heat of the day, you're going to have five open cash registers and the U scans
ready to go. And they have how many? Like 10, 15 that could be staffed?
The more people that show up, the more the more they open up more. I am trained to run a cash register. They can call me up if they need to open up all those cash registers.
I'm also trained, and they have not called me in like 15 years.
Because you haven't worked there in 15 years, Jim.
You get a phone call at 8 p.m. Jim, you're out of retirement. Come on, we're tapping you in.
I don't think that's how that works.
I haven't ran a cash register since 1996.
Wait, you mean I can turn this
pager off? The one that says low battery for the last 14 years? Yeah, go ahead, Jim. I mean, there's also the whole thing about theft. You see it on Facebook all the time. It's like, oh, I could have saved you so much money just by using the U-scan and walking out of it. And you don't have to, you can just be a complete a-hole to the greeter when they want to see your receipts. It's perfectly, they're beneath you. You're perfectly acceptable to go ahead and be a complete, you know what, to a greeter. And so
But aren't there supposed to be people manning those, the self-checkouts anyway?
And... Yes. Yeah. At where I work, there's basically two for every six U-scans. So on one end, there's two because they got like 12, and there's six on the other one, so they have one.
Right.
So, yeah, they're supposed to be there. But, you know, there is a lot of theft going on, and it's hard for that one person or two people to monitor all that. They are hustling. They are truly hard workers.
Well, and the challenge, too, is if they have to go and, like, say, like, take a cap off of a liquor bottle or... Like, you know,
a price check on
somebody's
age or somebody busted a thing of sugar and have
to, that takes them away from the cameras.
Yep.
So you go in there with two people. So you have one person to distract them.
Yep.
And somebody else to,
Yep. Oh, that's a true thing. Yeah.
Well, welcome to Theft Tips with Admin Jim.
Having been in retail as long as I was, and even
we can help
Adam,
you steal anything you want to steal from a big box store.
Do you like Corona?
Good stories on that. Yeah.
Do you know what IBC root beer is? Just put the bottles in. No, never mind.
Oh my. On that note, in our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to cashiers, Oompa Loompas, and Priority Waste. We're sorry!
Our fault.
Sorry, guys. Do stick around, by the way, if you're listening here on Solid State Radio, a full hour of local original theft talk, I believe is what you said, is coming up next.
An hour of Michigan-made music. Todd Steven is going to be my guest in studio. He has a new album that we're going to be playing some songs off of, and we're going to be talking to him. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I might mix in some Stone Clover because it's Irish music. Plus, after at 7 o'clock, it's going to be a Blarney Hour weekend.
All Blarney Hour, all weekend long. All the Irish music you can possibly handle and then some from 7 tonight until 5 o'clock on Tuesday morning because, yes, we also observe National Hangover Day here at Solid State Radio.
60 moments of Father John. It's going to be a good, good time.
Oh, more than that. Like 80 or so?
80.
It's like 82 hours.
Wow,
man,
we've done 80 things.
You've done, I think, almost 100 episodes at this point.
Wow.
I'll go back and confirm for sure.
Oh, if you would, because if I know the 100th one is coming up, I've got to do something special.
I'll look into that for you. Right. On that note, session is next. I'll be well. Talk to you on Tuesday at 3. See ya.